Well, happy Sunday. It's November 10th. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Today, I'm going to talk about very serious, controversial, and political hot button issues. In all of our beliefs, we must line up with kingdom values. Kingdom values are biblical values. We must align our beliefs to what Yahweh says, and the Bible tells us what our King says. I'm also going to share the reason why we should want to follow what the Lord says and the results if we don't. Let's begin with prayer. Lord Yeshua, open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say today. Help me to share this message with hope, because you always give us a way of escape. You came to set us free. You paid the price for our sins. And that is good news. As I share, let those who listen to this truth receive it. And where necessary, choose to change their own beliefs to line up with what you say. Help me, Lord, to share your heart in a loving way. Because even when we were yet sinners, you loved us and died for us. In your name, Yeshua, I pray. Amen. The first topic I'm going to talk about is abortion. At conception, a new life takes shape, intricately woven by the hand of God. Psalms 139:13 through 16 reads, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days of my life when none of yet existed." Wow. So this verse is telling us that God knows us even before we are formed in our mother's womb. And he writes in his book all the days of our life. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Abortion presents a profound challenge to our understanding of this sacred truth. If all life is fearfully and wonderfully made, and Jeremiah tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then the intentional ending of a life in the womb must be considered within this moral framework. And so today, with heavy hearts and utmost respect for the complexity of circumstances surrounding this issue, we must confront the question, is abortion a sin, a form of murder that grieves the heart of God? Are there times when abortion is okay? To those who have experienced the pain of abortion, our first words must be ones of compassion and grace. You are deeply loved, and there is forgiveness in Yeshua. Yet, as a community of faith, we cannot remain silent when innocent lives are at risk. We are ambassadors of a God who is the creator and sustainer of all life. From conception to natural death, each stage of existence possesses inherent value and dignity. To take the life of the unborn is a violation of this principle, an act that contradicts the very character of Yahweh. The womb was once a place of safety, yet it has become a battlefield. The most vulnerable among us, those utterly dependent on others for their care, are the targets of a violence we cannot condone. Let us be clear. Abortion is not merely a medical procedure or a choice. It is the ending of a human life, an extinguishing of a soul that God himself has known from before the formation of the earth. And not only that, but abortion is a sacrifice of blood to the enemy. I learned this very week that every abortion brings great joy to Satan and his kingdom and empowers demons in the earth. Demons of lust and all kinds of sexual immorality and impurity. It is then no wonder that some who are seeking power are promoting abortion so ardently and are engaged in sexual sins. Having an abortion also releases a curse of abortion into your life where other aspects of your life are aborted. Relationships fail. Jobs are lost. You can't seem to finish anything. But what if the fetus is malformed or mother's life in danger? To these questions, I have this answer based in my own experience as well as the Bible. If a fetus is so malformed that it is unviable, the mother will experience a miscarriage. If the baby lives and is born, remember that the Lord will not give you more than you can bear. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Put your trust and faith in a faithful God. You just don't know everything. I have heard many testimonies of mothers who rejected their doctor's recommendation to get an abortion and gave birth to healthy babies. And as for the preserving the life of the mother, the Bible says that no greater love has a man, meaning also a woman, than to lay down their life for another. I've also heard stories of mothers who were on their deathbed, who got cancer or some other terminal disease, who did that very thing. They said, I will give my life for the life of my baby. And that baby was born healthy. And sometimes the mother died, sometimes the mother did not die. We don't know everything. God has the final word. If you are put in this position, we should be seeking the Lord for health and healing and His will. And we can't just say, my body, my choice. Because really, your body is not your body if you are a born-again believer. You're a kingdom citizen. Your body belongs to God. But our words must not only be ones of conviction. They must also be ones of redemption. We are not called to condemn, but to offer hope in the midst of pain and fear. To the pregnant mother lacking resources, we will extend our hand in support. The father uncertain of his role, we'll offer wisdom and guidance. And to all, we will proclaim the forgiving love of Yeshua that heals the deepest wounds and restores the soul. We weep for the lives lost, but we will not be silent. We will pray, volunteer, and give to support those who choose life. We will advocate for the unborn, standing for those without a voice. And to all who will listen, we will share the good news. Every life is a precious gift, worth a sacrifice to protect. For we serve a God who formed us in the womb, who knows our days before they come to be, and who longs to welcome every soul into the world he loves. May we be a church that cherishes the sacred gift of life, that offers hope in the midst of desperation, and that stands as a voice for the voiceless. May we reflect the heart of God, who knits us together with care, and who longs to welcome every soul into the world he loves. Each and every person conceived has a destiny, a God-ordained destiny. It is our job to see that person be born and raised up to fulfill their God-ordained destiny. And may we never forget that to be a follower of Yeshua is to be an unshakable defender of the most vulnerable among us. If you have had an abortion, I want to let you know that you can receive forgiveness. I would like to walk you through a prayer of repentance and deliverance. If that is you and you want forgiveness and deliverance, then repeat after me. I humbly come before you, Yeshua, and repent for my part in having an abortion. I realize now that it was murder and idolatry. I ask that you show mercy. Forgive me, Yeshua, and wash me with your precious blood, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I forgive those who partnered with me to have an abortion. I forgive the doctor, the baby's father, my parents, and anyone else who encouraged me to abort my baby or participated in the abortion. I come out of agreement with the devil and come into covenant agreement with Yeshua. I command that all demons empowered by me when I had the abortion be removed from my life and the lives of my family. I break the curse of abortion off my life and release blessing as I choose to walk in obedience to the Lord's ways and commandments. Thank you, Yeshua, for your forgiveness and deliverance. Thank you for clothing me in your righteousness and covering me with your blood. Help me to make restitution if necessary. In Yeshua's name, amen. I want to remind you that as a family of believers, I personally want to offer help if you are pregnant and have nowhere to go. Reach out to me via email or call me. My contact information is on my website, lotsofloveministries.com. The second topic I feel compelled to talk about is LGBTQ agenda. Brothers and sisters in Yeshua, let us begin by remembering the words of 1 John 4:8. Yahweh is love. But Yahweh's love never contradicts Yahweh's law. His love calls us to holiness, reflect his character. Yahweh's design for human sexuality is clear. Male and female, he created them, according to Genesis 1:27. From the beginning, marriage was established as a holy union between one man and one woman. Yeshua confirms this in the context of a teaching about divorce in Matthew 19:4 through 6, where he says, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be reunited to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." The law given through Moses further outlined sexual practices considered detestable to Yahweh, including homosexuality. Leviticus 18:22-20-13, "Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. If a man has sexual relations with a man, as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads." Now, although this talks about man and man, we have to apply it to woman on woman too. Lesbianism is just female homosexuality. This is talking about all forms of homosexuality. And these commands were not merely cultural, but reflected Yahweh's eternal law. So we see that reaffirmed in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 11, we read, "We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me." Though Yeshua did not directly address homosexuality, his endorsement of the entire Torah and prophets as divine revelation in Matthew 5, 17 through 20 includes the sexual ethics outlined within. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And I want to speak specifically to anyone listening who may believe that Yeshua may have been homosexual. He fulfilled the law. He didn't violate the law. And if the law says that homosexuality is detestable and violates Yahweh's character, being God himself, he would never violate that law. Do not blaspheme the Lord in that way. And if you have, repent. Yeshua's command to love others never means condoning actions Yahweh has prohibited. True love lifts others out of sin, not confirming them in it. Let me say that again. True love lifts others out of sin, not confirming them in it. It doesn't say, "Oh, it's okay, God understands." I mean, God may understand why you're in sin, but he doesn't condone it. He says, "Come out and sin no more." Paul writes in Romans 1, 18 to 27, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all of the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. This is very, very clear. Homosexuality is shameful. It's unnatural. Men and women engaging in homosexuality are doing what is detestable and shameful in the sight of our Lord. So we have to have a call to holiness. Dear ones, Yahweh is calling his people to separate ourselves from the sinful patterns of the world. We are instructed in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Homosexuality is not the only sin, but it is nonetheless a sin. All sexual immorality, including homosexuality, dishonors the body and grieves the Holy Spirit, as we learn in Ephesians 4:19. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. In Ephesians 5:3-5 says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you who think you could be a Christian and be a homosexual, this right here says the opposite. And if you think the Bible doesn't say so, this is the Bible. Ephesians 5:3-5. Read Ephesians. And you can't just take part of the Bible and throw out the ones you don't like, the ones that refuse to condone your homosexuality. And I just want to, as a side note, I just want to bring out that it also mentions in here about obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking. For those who think it's okay to use foul language, you know, use F-bombs and those kind of things, you shouldn't have obscenity coming out of your mouth. And obscene jokes and foolish talk. Be careful about how you use your words. It's not about we're adults and we can handle that kind of language. No, it's not about that. He's talking to adults here. We got to get that kind of talk out of our mouth. Because you know what? This kind of talk can lead to sexual immaturity and impurity, right? So let's watch our mouths. And also, if you are engaged in these kind of things, immoral, impure, and greediness, it's a form of idolatry. And you can't be an idolater. That violates the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not have, you know, idols. You know, this is for real, people. You can't be a Christian and be an idolater. It doesn't work. 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This right here speaks to both the issues we're discussing today. It's my body. I can have an abortion if I want. No, it's not your own body. Not if you're born again, especially. It's not. Here, it says, you are not your own. I can do what I want. No, you can't. If you are a born-again believer, a kingdom citizen, your body belongs to the Lord. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Abortion and homosexual behavior is not an option for you. It violates God's law. And you are not your own. If you go into that way, you are doing what you want. And you're not doing what God wants. And you cannot follow the Lord and do your own thing. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Yet there is hope. Praise Yahweh for his boundless mercy. The same passage in 1 Corinthians 6 condemning homosexuality also says, and such were some of you. There are people in the church who've had abortions, and then they've received forgiveness and healing and deliverance. There are people in the church who once were engaged in homosexual lifestyles, but God set them free, and now they're living a life of holiness before the Lord and are married to members of the opposite sex, as it should be. So such were some of you. The gospel is the power of Yahweh for salvation. All kinds of sinners, even murderers and homosexuals, you can be forgiven and set free. And Yeshua transforms those who turn to him. So we reach out with compassion to the lost, but never at the cost of calling love what Yahweh has called detestable. You may love that other person, but really, if it's homosexuality or something like that, then it's just lust. It is not love to condone sin. We must say, as Yeshua said, go and sin no more. If you have friends or family members trapped in this life, you must warn them in love to flee from sexual sins and sin no more. Dear ones, we may walk in sexual purity, but not out of legalistic fear, but as a loving response to our Holy Father. Homosexuality is an abomination to Yahweh, and engaging in it brings his judgment. But through Yeshua Messiah, all who repent and believe can know forgiveness, a new heart, and the power to live righteously. Let us be a people who, in holy love, proclaim both Yahweh's law and Yahweh's gospel to a desperate world. Read the Bible and see for yourself what Yahweh says about every aspect of the LGBTQ agenda. There's things in there about men dressing like women and women dressing like men. This is not about women wearing pants. It's about becoming a transvestite, where you put on a wig and makeup and the clothes of a woman to appear to others to be a woman, when in reality you are a man, and vice versa. You are a woman and you dress to look like a man and appear as a man to other people. That's not acceptable in God's eyes. I'm sorry, it's not. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. Read the Bible and see for yourself. There's just so much at stake here. While we show love to the people, we cannot condone these actions. We can't. Their very souls will burn in hell. Do you want to see those you love, your family and friends, go to hell and be in eternal torment? We should not want to go to hell. I know I've heard people say, see you in hell, but that shows ignorance. Hell is not a good place to go. Yeshua came to seek and save those who are lost. Let us partner with the Lord to redeem those lost in these sins. Let's bring healing and deliverance to them and empower them to walk in holiness as kingdom citizens. Amen? If you are trapped in these sins and you want to be set free, pray this prayer after me. But first, before we begin the prayer, I bind every demonic spirit and command you to be silent in the name of Yeshua. I break the power of this demonic deception off the people. I command that they hear only the voice of Yeshua and empower them to repent and be set free. In the name of Yeshua, there's still power in the blood. And I come against you, Satan, in the name of Yeshua, clothed in his righteousness, covered in his blood. Now repeat after me. Yeshua, I come to you. I repent of my participation in these sexual sins. I want to be set free, to live as you have ordained. I come out of agreement with the demons and demonic lies, empowering homosexuality, transvestitism, pornography, lust, adultery, bestiality, and any other sexual sin in the name of Yeshua. I command these demons to leave me now. I receive the forgiveness and freedom found in Yeshua. I commit to living according to Yahweh's commandments in the way he intended. From this day forward, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will get water baptized. Lord, cover me with your blood and surround me with your angels. Protect me until I can get water baptized in your name. Thank you, Yeshua, for your love and blood sacrifice for me. I receive them now in your precious name, Yeshua. Amen. If you need to be baptized, find a church that baptizes in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. If you are in Bay County, Florida or surrounding areas, I would love to baptize you. Just email me at lostandlovedministries@yahoo.com. Wow. Wow. This has been a powerful and serious message. If you received healing and deliverance from this message today, please let me know by emailing me. I want you to know that I love you. I don't condemn you. I used to walk in the devil's ways many years ago, and the Lord forgave me. And I was water baptized and delivered and set free, born again. I was able to cast the devil out of my life and begin walking in the ways of the Lord. And you can do the same. Don't let the devil lie to you. Abortion is not a choice. It's not a medical procedure or just a medical procedure. It is killing a human being. Reach out for help if you need it. Homosexuality and all that whole LGBTQ agenda is not godly behavior. You cannot be a Christian and support that or be engaged in it. If you need help, there are ministries out there who will help you get set free from these things. And you can always reach out to me and I will pray and walk you through more healing and deliverance if you need it. I do love you, but I don't condone your sin. Amen. So until next week, may you have shalom in your home.